Our topic today, I actually found a couple, or I should say Lydia gave me a couple articles, and I went through them, and two of them were kind of related about nonverbal communication while we're prospecting. So I kind of put the both of them together kind of because they link together, they work together in one training call. And so we're going to cover their articles written. One's written by Marvin Brown on body language, and then the other one is written by Gina Barnett on subtexting. Now, when I read subtexting, the first thing I thought about was, where's my cell phone where I start texting? But that's not what subtexting is about, so get your mind frame off of that. But these two things are important for us as we're going out there talking to new people and making sure that we're sending the right signals and we're getting the right signals, right? Because what is our job in network marketing? Number one job, build relationship. Number two job, build relationship. Number three job, build relationship. So what you want to be doing is really working on making sure that you're communicating what you think you're communicating when you're working with people. And the unspoken communication, in fact, there's some studies out there that say unspoken communication actually is more powerful than actual words being said. Isn't that amazing? I mean, so understand how critically important this is in being able to build relationships with people. So let's first jump in and talk about body language. And there's lots of articles out there on body language. Some of you are experts. Some of you are novices. I suggest that you become somewhere in between, that you start understanding more and more about body language and what it suggests. And this article didn't go over everything, but it did go through a lot of things. So let's just talk through and see what he said. And the most important thing is that, what does body language help you with? It helps you in a short period of time with a person, because the first time you meet somebody, you're not with them for 25 minutes, majority of times. And if you are, I'm suggesting you're... Right? So what you want to do is limit that first communication with people. Just the whole purpose of it is to get them to know you a little bit, like you, and trust you. Right? And why is that? Because the famous quote goes, all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. So how do I get that to happen? Well, let's go through some of the suggestions that Marvin made to us. Number one, offer an open-lipped, heartfelt smile. And the minute I read that, I thought, open-lipped? Oh, yeah, because you want to show your teeth. I want everybody now to just keep your mouth closed, lips together, and make a smile. What does that say to people? That says, oh, really? I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? You think I believe you? You see how it transmits a feeling of distrust to other people when you keep your lips closed. Isn't that funny? We don't even recognize, but that's what it's, we're saying a whole different language than what we intend to say. So you definitely want to make sure those lips are open, the teeth are showing, and you have a genuine smile, right? So, and what that does suggest when you do that, it suggests to the person you're talking to, hey, you can relax and feel safe with me. Because it's almost like when you smile with your mouth open, with your teeth, and you give a genuine smile, people go, wow, yeah, this person I can trust. You know, they get a feeling of, yeah, she's trustworthy. All right, so definitely don't leave those lips closed. Secondly, smile when offering encouragement. So, you know, when we offer encouragement, if you're trying to encourage somebody and you're talking with deadpan face and you're trying to use words of encouragement, you miss the whole, the words mean nothing. They fall, it's kind of like the biblical expression when you're, you know, dropping seeds and they fall on the barren land. That's what's happening, brother. You're just, but you're triggering the barren land because you are barren going into it. So you don't want to just be throwing out words. You want to make sure that that genuine smile, the kindness is coming across as you smile. And that's what it is. Your heart's coming through that smile. So, and the same thing when you send somebody a compliment. If you tell somebody, wow, you know what? You'd be the greatest in this business. You just, oh my gosh, you have whatever that is. And you try to tell that to somebody and you're frowning. They're going to look at you like, I think she's just saying that. It sounds like it's just memorized, right? Instead of honest. So make sure there's an emotional expression, which is usually a smile, that suggests that people are going to be great. I'm sending you all back to Doug Feuerbach. I did back on May 18th on my Monday call, I covered the Professional Network Marketer Association meetings, and some of you remember that. If you haven't reviewed that call, it's massive, but there's thousands of great tidbits in it. I mean, I could basically do a whole year of Monday calls just from that one event, but I tried to cover it in one Monday call. So you got a lot of stuff in one. But some of the things that Feuerbaugh said, he says that, you know, one of the important things for us to do in the fuel of recruiting is empower the prospect, empower them. What does that mean? It means that you help them believe in themselves, because that's one of the major things that holds people back. So he gave a whole slew of language on that call, and what did I do? I copied all of that down for you and put it into that outline. And things like, I'll just give you a couple of them. I'm not sure if anyone has ever told you, but your energy is amazing. Imagine saying that to somebody with a frown on your face. Won't work. But what you want to have those encouraging statements. I want to share something with you. You have an amazing personality, and I don't know if we'll ever do any work together, but you're awesome. You know, great, right? I don't know if anyone's ever shared with you, but you have terrific communication skills, right? Same thing. Edify, elevate, encourage, enlarge them, because most people will never believe in themselves unless you tell them and you pour into them. So go back and watch, look at Doug Feuerbaugh's languaging and start building some of that in your rapport with people, and it'll be amazing what you create instead of what you have been creating. It's a great way to get people on the road and off their duff and moving forward. And you go, well, how do I know they're amazing? Well, you just interacted with them. If they communicated with you and they did a great job, tell them. If they smile and they have a great personality, tell them. I mean, I met this other gal the other day, and I said, you know what? I don't even want to begin to tell you, you'd be super in this business. Why? Because she had all this education about nutrition and loved it. They just had a passion for nutrition. So I thought, why aren't you creating a multimillion-dollar business around your passion? Can you say that to somebody? Absolutely. That's the encouragement. They've never even thought that they could create a multimillion-dollar business. But we know that anyone can do that. Do they need to perhaps go through some transformation and self-development and leadership skill training and things that are going to help make them that person they need to be pulling in their $250,000 a year? Yeah, but that is part of what we do, teach and train and grow and help them in those ways. So go back for more suggestions to that Monday call, May 18th, and look at Doug Feuerbaugh's category in that outline, and you'll find a lot of great encouraging words that you want to implement. If you can't think of them yourself, go there and pick up some of those. Number three was, let your face be a mirror of the speaker's emotions. What does that mean? It's the same thing I tell people when I talk about personality quadrants. When you're in a phone call with somebody and you pick up, you sense their personality quadrant, go visit them in their quadrant. Why do I tell people to do that? Because that's where people are most comfortable, when you are in their quadrant. So that might be slowing down your language. That might be being more sensitive. It might even change how you describe Manitech, because aren't there 100 ways we can describe it? We can describe it, oh, my gosh, this is an awesome company. You know what? You're gonna have so much fun. All these incentive trips, I've been, and start naming all the countries you've been to, and it's crazy. Wow, we have a blast. Now, what quadrant is that for? The promoter quadrant, right, because that's what they want to hear. Or you could talk to somebody and go, oh, man, Sarah, that's awesome. So you spent time with your family. Did you go to the beach? Gosh, what did you guys do? Oh, I love the beach, man. I love putting my toes in the sand and walking at the edge of the, just where the water crashes on the beach. You know, and every once in a while, don't you find some great-looking shells and crabs and all sorts, and, you know, right? Who's that quadrant? The supporter quadrant. Oh, man, they love walking on the beach, hanging out. And you talk to them about M5M. So you're meeting people in their quadrants, and you know what? They fall in love with you. They don't even know why, except that you got along like you were best buds and you've known each other for 10 years. That's why personality quadrants are so important to understand. But this is the same kind of concept. Let your face be a mirror of the speaker's emotions. Because it validates the speaker, and it shows that their words are affecting you. And people talk to have effect on other people. So they're going to feel very powerful that what they're saying is moving you. So what does it look like? Because these are things some of you may not know. And there's one that really came out clear to me. But nodding, of course, says what? It can say, I'm in agreement, or definitely I'm engaged. Because if you just stare at somebody when they're talking, they're not sure that you're not thinking about the Rangers lost yesterday when they really have been playing lousy ball for about 7, 10, 2 months in a row, right? I mean, your mind could be somewhere else if you're not somehow showing engagement. So you want to make sure that you're nodding your head or something to show you're engaged. You frown when the message is sad, right? You just go, you're not going to smile. You don't have that big, you know, sloppy smile we talked about, you know, up front. You know, we're going to talk, when the person's telling you something sad, you want to be sad with them, join them. You squint when the speaker is conveying irritation. It's almost like you're feeling it with them, the irritation you can feel with them. You shake your head when the speaker is talking about frustration. Like, you get it. It's like, geez, I got it. Frustration happens to us all. Without saying anything, you're already communicating that in body language. When the message is really upbeat and high and powerful, you're going to be smiling. Again, with your lips closed or open. Open those lips. Give your whole head. And here's a fun one that I didn't realize. Tilt your head to the left to express empathy. Tilt your head to the left to express empathy. That was my winner one out of this that I didn't realize before. I don't know that I tilt my head any time, but I think it's time to start tilting, okay? Tilt your head to the left to express empathy. All right, number four, use a handshake to intensify the moment. A strong handshake shows confidence, and people will follow you if you have the right posture. And the most important posture we need to develop in network marketing is a posture of confidence. And that's, it's just a choice how you interact with people. Do you have to have confidence to have a posture of confidence? Absolutely not. But you need to understand posture. How do I put myself out there that I'm confident and my business is ginning no matter what's happening behind the scenes? You know, that's what you want to purvey every single time you're out sharing with people. So strong handshake shows confidence, and those are, you know, underused in our society today. End the conversation with a handshake, as it adds it's like adding a punctuation mark to what you just talked about. I tend to hug people, but that's just me. I don't hug men. I guess I hug women mostly, but I'll resort to handshake. I think that's a great way to do it because some people think you're invading their space when you hug them. So a handshake is a great way to do that. Shake hands when thanking someone, offering congratulations. So, you know, if somebody shows up for a meeting and you're done with the meeting, go, hey, listen, Sarah, I really appreciate it. And put out your hand. Thank you for coming out and listening to this. And we'll get back in touch like we set up tomorrow at 2 o'clock. I'll give you a call because, remember, have a meeting, book a meeting, so you don't ever say, hey, I'll talk to you next week. You think about it, pray about it. Don't. That's not the way you do this business. You have a meeting, book a meeting. So have a meeting, book a meeting. And when you do your handshakes, you know, research shows that when you say your name with your handshake, when meeting someone, Mary Jo Hilliker here, you know, and you put out your hand, that makes them 75% more likely to remember your name if you shake their hand when you say your name. Isn't that a great stat? Put that in your head and remember that. Okay, five is lock eyes for an extra second when you're shaking hands. You want to make that, it's not a steely look like you're drilling oil through their eyes and through their brain. It's just a look that of comfort that you maintain it so that. Why is that important? Eye contact really says a lot. And the number one thing it says or doesn't say is trust. When you don't look people in the eyes, no one's going to trust you. So you better keep that eye contact. When you're shaking somebody's hand, you make contact with the eye, and that increases the chance that somebody's going to like you. Shaking your hand, their hand, and looking in their eyes will increase the chance that they're going to like you. I never made a point of that, so for me that's going to be something I'm going to be conscious of as I shake people's hands now. Am I looking in their eyes? So because, again, that they will like you. And a lot of that goes back to, again, that eye contact is almost always tied to trust issues. Complete the communication circuit with your eyes. When the other person is speaking, you want to have eye contact throughout the whole time they're speaking so that they know you're engaged with them, right? So you're engaged with them. What if it gets awkward to keep your eyes on them because they're big talkers? You ever meet any of those? Yeah. Then what they suggest is you move your eyes just a tad bit up, look at their eyebrows, or look at the place between their, you know, on their nose. because they're not going to be able to distinguish where your eyes are looking if you just adjust it just a hair up or a hair down, and it'll take you out of that comfort, that discomfort that you're feeling from looking in their eyes. And when you look away, when you start doing this with people, you making that eye contact and really going through making sure those eyes are connecting, you're going to start walking away from conversations going, wow, I didn't used to do that. You'll notice the big difference in how you interact with people. Okay, great, great. So you got that, completing communications. And the seventh practice was making eye contact longer than usual. In other words, normally we maintain eye contact 30 to 60% of the time. When you do it more than 60% of the time, it truly tells them you're interested and they matter. So, and he says, and if this becomes difficult for you, if you're sitting down and working with somebody, he says if you lean forward, it enhances your capacity and your commitment to actually make the eye contact. So just lean us a little bit forward, just a little advice on how you can make sure you do it. So I got that? Great. All right. So that kind of covers body language, some new things. There's a lot of other body language out there, like crossing their arms, how you're standing, all sorts of things, but that wasn't part of this article. This is really important stuff that'll just kind of deals with handshakes, eye contact, those kind of things, subtle things that we may not be doing that communicate much more than you could ever imagine. Much more than you can imagine. So don't, if you screw up on these little things, you walk away from a great presentation and you go, I don't understand why they didn't want to close. And it had everything to do with your body language. You don't want that to be the thing that holds you back. So develop the skills. This is part of your skills in prospecting. Remember, contacting and inviting, right? All these things are part of skills you want to develop. All right, next, subtexting. So what is subtexting? Does it have anything to do with texting? And I already kind of gave you that idea that it doesn't have anything to do with texting, right? Subtexting. What it is it's the unspoken, it's what's unspoken between people in the midst of an exchange. So does it encompass body language? Absolutely. Absolutely. And it everywhere, so it really incorporates everything we just covered, but it's more than that. It's everywhere, and it's a vital part of our communication system with people. And it could be as subtle as a millisecond glance between two people to establish who will exit the door first. That's subtexting. You know, when you're walking towards the door and there's somebody there and you look at each other, just that exchange, that's called subtexting. Because why is it called subtexting? Because it's not oral communication. All right? It's sub. It's underneath the actual communication. But it is still a method of communication. So subtext is communicated both by small and large gestures with smiles, glances, hand movements, vocal tone, body positions. All of those things are incorporated into subtexting. And we need to know that that exists. We know it exists because we've been part of it all our lives. But what is it saying? What is it telling people? And how do we get through it? How do we learn from it? And how we can allow our languaging to take over a conversation versus the subtexting to be the underlying communication, right? So you can, and subtexting can be influenced by multiple factors. It can be influenced by relationships, gender, age, appearance, power dynamics, yesterday's meeting, right? The question is, what is driving the conversation? The words spoken or the unspoken ways those words are expressed? So you can never, and we should never, eliminate subtext because it's a vital part of our communication. If you want to understand subtexting, she suggests that we answer three questions. What is dominating the exchange, the words being spoken or the subtexting? And some of you are relating to that already because you're thinking about, wow, the other day when I was in this, I could tell I lost him. He wasn't really listening to my words. So what was going on? What was really being communicated through body languaging, right? If the subtext dominates, is it undermining the exchange? Because body language can help you support the exchange as well. But if it's undermining it, then you're losing a person without even knowing it. And how can the subtext be artfully brought into the conversation? So you need to know all of these things, right? The ability to identify and articulate the subtextual signals in any exchange is absolutely essential skill to develop. So what you want to do is begin by just observing how quickly and naturally we send signals to each other in our daily routine, day-to-day encounters. You can even just watch your interactions with your spouse or your kids and see how much subtexting goes on in that regard. And you can look in a meeting and you speak and silence descends. Or moments later, someone repeats what you said, right? Someone repeats what you said in a meeting and winds up getting all the credit for it. A colleague waves a hand and cuts you off before you finish speaking. A team member always looks away as you approach. Many of these kind of signals go by so quickly, there's no simple way to respond to them. But we need to be cognitive of taking these messages in, see them, feel them, and we often ruminate about them. Why? Because they're indirect ways of communicating. And they can hurt, and more critical, they can be totally misinterpreted. So you want to make sure that you're reading these right. And a lot of times we don't know how to read them, right? If somebody else is expressing subtexting to us, how do we know exactly what they mean by their subtexting? We don't. So that's what this gal, Gina, is all about in her article. She's kind of trying to help us, how do we dissect that and how do we get familiar with what the communication actually is? So she talks about the three things that we need to do, because we need to be able to navigate the unspoken, right? And we need to become a master of it to really understand it. So let's say the first thing we need to do is what? We need to observe how quickly we send these things out there. Observe them. Use curious non, and when you're observing the person, you want to use curious non-confrontational language. This skill takes time to master, but it also takes courage to speak up when the communication is actually being affected by subtexting. So you want to be able to step in because you won't know what the communication really is. Like if you walked into a meeting, somebody called you into a meeting and they had a frown on their face. You don't know what's really going on. You don't know if they're unhappy to see you. You don't know if you're about to get fired. You don't know if they're, you know, going to throw you under the bus. You have no idea. But how will you know unless you ask? If you don't inquire and just assume that the person's upset with you, you'll rapidly become stressed and anxious, and it changes the whole conversation. It comes from a totally different place. And that's the emotional state then in which you enter the conversation. It'll impact all the communication that goes on thereafter just because of a subtext that occurred. So how do I tackle that? Is there a better way for me to tackle that kind of situation? Absolutely. And it really gets to the question of ask. I mean, you know, gets to you asking, not assuming. Because so many times when we see somebody looking a certain way, we want to make an assumption about what that means about us or about them or about what they feel about us or what's going on for their day. So why not just ask a simple question? And these questions are, you want to make sure that the questions aren't attacking, they're not judgmental, they're not going in, you don't make assumptions about people's lives. But if you walk in a room and somebody looks like they're frowning a little bit, or you're meeting a prospect and they look a little down at Starbucks and you go, hey, is this really a good time for us to meet? And the person might respond by going, well, yeah, we chose to meet here. Why do you ask, right? And then you can say, well, you kind of have an expression of sadness. Has something gone on? So you can, without being confrontational, you're showing a sensitivity to the person. And you know what? Let me tell you. People will really honor you because of your sensitive nature. So if you walk in and somebody has a frown on their face and you're totally insensitive because you're so wrapped up on, oh my gosh, I memorized my conversation. This is exactly what I'm going to say. This is step one, step two, step three, step four, exactly how you're going to go through that communication with them. You are so wrought up with you that you fail to even recognize the subtextual things going on with the person you're about to meet with. Don't be there. I always love when I walk in to ever meet somebody, or I'm doing a three-way call or whatever it is, if it's somebody that I've just met or I'm trying to share with, my entire focus is on them. Because what's most important? Them, not you, it's them. They are key. They're most important in this communication. So, you know, step back and be inquisitive. Ask. Don't assume things, but ask. And then you'll find out. Your expression, is everything okay? And you find out. And then you can start using body language to show empathy, tilt that head to the left, you know, show some empathy for them, and all those things that we just learned, so that you can really be a player in their life and you can be communicating without opening the mouth. So, again, open-ended curiosity is what you want. So your first thing is observe. Second is ask. Don't assume. It's an open-ended curiosity. You're not automatically assuming the frown is about you. Maybe the boss just got off an upsetting phone call. Maybe he's got a toothache. There could be 1,000 reasons for that frown on his face. But you, when you assume things, what do we always say about the word assume? I'm not going to repeat it because I don't really like it, but you know what it is. So you don't want to do that in regard to people's interactions, because you're giving away and you're losing. It's a lose-lose. Do your discovery. Ask questions that are soft, gentle, not defensive, not judgmental. I mean, some people would see somebody frowning and say, "What's wrong?" And you just go, "Hey, Sarah, is this a good time for us to be doing this?" Because then they'll inquire with you, "Well, what do you mean?" And you go, "Well, you kind of have this sad expression on your face. I just want to know if everything's okay." You know, see how sensitive that is instead of walking in and just throwing out, "What's wrong?" You know, you look like a Mack truck just hit you. You know, be sensitive, be soft. And then once you uncover that, you carry on. Because once a subtextual signal is brought to light, then you can move on in the conversation. And it may be that you have subtextuals that start muddying up the water throughout the conversation. What do? You go back to, "I'm observing." Try not to project. And trust that in time, you'll have an opportunity to be open, curious, non-confrontational with a question. You could say, "You know, Sarah, I just saw your disposition shift a little bit. Did something strike your, you know, that you didn't like? Or is something that strike you in an unusual way? Or did you find something that, you know, that touched a nerve for you?" You follow? You can ask that kind of question. Non-confrontational, just be curious. But it's, instead of going through the conversation, wondering and worrying about what is wrong with this person, you're finding out. You're showing concern, but in a very sensitive way. Okay, so everybody got subtext. I think it's great. I learned a lot from that article. I appreciate her writing it because it's not something I've ever trained on before or really studied before, but it's something we need to be aware of. So that's it. I covered two whole articles, and I got done 15 minutes early. That's a new record. Anybody have any questions, anything I can answer since we've got a little bit of time left? Did this open up your eyes to new things as well? I know a lot of you know body language, but, you know, we need to keep reminding ourselves over and over again, don't we? It's one of those great topics you could talk on once a month and keep it in front of you. Anyone? Any questions? Quiet group today. Okay, everybody, then I'm going to let everybody go with 15 minutes to spare. That means you guys can get a head start on prospecting today. You can at least contact 2, 3, 4 new people that you weren't going to be able to contact if I kept you until 11 o'clock. So let's make it a great day. Oh, there's a question. All right, go ahead.
Are you there?
Hello. I'm here.
Okay. That was very helpful. Thank you very much, because that the languaging you use is very, very helpful for me, because you always, you've taken me out of, out of my box, and
good.
You threw me out.
I threw you out of your box. That's great news. Congratulations. I love you being outside the box. Right. Oh, you're welcome. You're so welcome. Go have a whole day. This is my challenge. My challenge to you is spend your entire day outside your box. And report back next week. I want to hear what it was like, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Hey, Mary Jo.
Yeah.
Great call.
Michael.
It's Michael Vandra. Love the subject. It made me think about, the Michael Oliver's natural selling training and just really, like, don't assume stuff, like kind of go in with, "I don't really know, tell me more about that," you know, kind of thing.
So absolutely, absolutely.
Really,
and
fits into the subtexting thing.
Yeah, the subtexting is as well. But, you know, Michael Oliver, of course, you and I both honor this guy. He's awesome because he really, I mean, you know, today we talk about we're not selling, we're solving. Well, Michael Oliver was, what's the whole premise of Michael Oliver's approach? How can you solve somebody's problem unless you don't know what it is? So you're on a path of discovery. It's a constant asking questions to find out. And once that's revealed, one of my favorite lines I always tell people and teach people, Michael, is I say, once they say something about what they have, and, you know, like if somebody goes, "Well, you know, my daughter just got diagnosed with lupus." Now, there's plenty of you out there would jump on that like so fast your heads would be spinning. But when people say things like that to me, it's always like, wow. So, you know, first of all, it's like, wow. And you shake your head like, you know, like that's a re- you know, this is body language again, and you go, so what are you doing about it? I mean, what steps have you taken? You don't jump on it that you have the solution.
Right.
You give the person a chance to be grieving about this lupus diagnosis. So now you're in their heart. You become a part of the love language and a part of sensitivity they're waiting to hear. Because people tell you stories about their health because they want you to be sensitive to what they're going through. So do that with them. And then go ahead.
No, I was just going to say people tend to not be listened to in our culture. And so
right.
If you can do that for them, you're automatically get the know, like, and trust thing going on. So.
Yeah. Oh, huge. And then how you conclude that conversation, because you're going to go, well, Mary Jo, you're not going to just let them walk away. And I go, no, at the end of the conversation, I'll just interject. You know, I came across this breakthrough nutritional science that's making a difference in so many people's lives because of miscommunication. And I know that's what lupus is all about as well. I'd love to share it with you. Do you have some time? If you're interested in taking a look at it, let's get together. So empower them to be able to say, you know, chase you down instead of you chasing them.
Absolutely.
And it gives you tremendous posture as well. And that's what you want to establish in your life. Otherwise, you're just out there, you know, trying to sell everybody anything that you possibly can, and people will push you back. But there's, you know, in that methodology that I just gave you guys, there's zero rejection. Zero, right, Michael? Remember, that's a big thing about Michael Oliver. You'll never be rejected again because you're just saying, you know, you're just throwing out there, hey, you know, I just came across this breakthrough technology where people that have, you know, miscommunication issues going on in their body, which is what you've just been diagnosed with, is, I mean, they're having terrific results. I'd love to share it with you. Yeah.
And he's a big advocate of what you said first. You know, it's like, oh, you know, ask them more about what's going on in their world because of that, you know, rather than jumping
right
in too soon. And well, I love the title of his book, How to Sell Network Marketing Without Fear, Anxiety, or Losing Your Friends. I mean, it pretty well says
it. Right. It pretty well says it, exactly. It hits the nail on the head. That's exactly what we're after, you know. So you don't, then, and you can, if you can do network marketing and never suffer rejection, you've done a great job.
Absolutely.
Because most people, you know, that's one of the things that keeps them sitting on their duff instead of going out there and talking to strangers is they, oh, but they might reject me. Or how about people who don't, I know I got a bunch of you on this call, but people who don't do follow-up. It always blows me away because whenever I have people to follow up with, man, I'm all over it like hotcakes because I can't wait to close them. Notice the mindset. I can't wait to close them. I want them in my business. I already know where I'm going to position them. But those of you who don't follow up, the reason you don't follow up is because you come from fear. Oh, they're not going to want it anyway. You want my blah. Oh, they're just going to reject me. I might look stupid. I won't be able to answer their questions. It drives me crazy. So if that's you, don't tell me about it because I don't want to be driven crazier. Just try. Step out of that. Get some good coaching. Get some good help. And the most important thing you can do for yourself is just go do it. Do all that follow-up, and your fear will go away. Become absolutely what steel-plated. I think that's what Paula Richards said. It's just about become steel-plated. Nothing permeates this steel plate. They can't get to me, right, and go out there and love on the world because they, let me tell you, people, they're everywhere they need to hear from you, everywhere. We haven't run out of people. All right, any other last-minute comments before we go? Thanks, you guys, for doing the great week. Thanks for your commitment to Manatech. We love you, and have a great, great week. Talk to you next Monday.